is your host, TJ Buckenberger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, if you enjoy our podcast, or even if you don't, make sure to rate us on Stitcher and iTunes. You can interact with the show via social media on Twitter at TJ Slideways, our Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, also via email podcast@TJSlideways.com. Guest appearing tonight on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline include Joshua Hodges, your last lap feature winner of the USAC Amsoil CRA Sprint Car Series event at the Paris Auto Speedway. We'll cover his big win on Saturday and talk about how he's been kind of rising up the ranks this season, 3 wins so far this calendar year. Then we'll talk to National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductee and sprint car legend Shane Carson. We'll discuss the upcoming reunion weekend at the Devil's Bowl Speedway, if Mother Nature lets us have it. A lot of rain down there right now. We'll have to see what's going on down there and just kind of talk about the state of sprint car racing today with Shane Carson. And then your feature winner Sunday with the Arctic Cat All-Star Circuit of Champions, Chad Kaminaugh. He picked up the win Sunday at Bedford Speedway. So Josh Hodges, Shane Carson, Chad Kaminaugh, your guest lineup for tonight's program. Before we get started, though, we're going to cover a few tidbits from the racing world in
the latest dirt.
Of course, right now, the World of Outlaws are contesting an event at the USA Raceway in Tucson, Arizona. Hot laps pretty much starting as we're recording this podcast. Over the weekend, Casey Kane Racing picked up all the victories, with Brad Sweet winning Friday at the Bakersfield Speedway and Darren Pittman winning Saturday at Paris Auto Speedway. Sweet still leading the World of Outlaw point standings by 91 markers over Shane Stewart. The All-Stars had 3 races over the weekend. Dale Blaney picked up the win at Attica Raceway Park Friday. Jack Honshaw swept the program on Saturday at Wayne County Speedway. And we mentioned Chad Kaminaugh picking up the victory with an impressive field of cars, 41 cars on a Sunday at Bedford Speedway. Carson Macedo made his first Ohio impression a big one. Fast time Friday with the All-Stars at Attica Raceway Park, then backed it up by winning Saturday at Fremont Speedway with a last lap pass of Byron Reed. Chase Stockton won the USAC National Sprint Car Series event at Tri-State Speedway. He leads the point standings into the series' first appearance at Montpelier Motor Speedway on Saturday. Knoxville Raceway opened up this past Saturday. Of course, we watched it on the cushion. And one of the most interesting points of that event, Brian Costa picking up the 360 feature win, backing up his USAC National Sprint Car victory from Friday at Bloomington Speedway. He nearly pulled off the triple, leaving the 410 feature as well before leaving the bottom open. And that's all Dane Wasowski needed to get by him and cruise to the opening night victory in that division. In the 305s, Chris Walraven became the 5th driver in Knoxville history to win in all 3 classes, picking up the 305 win. Some of the other big winners during the weekend, Jimmy McCune with the Musty Racing Series swept both of their events down south. Parker Price Miller won the IRA MOA co-sanctioned event at LaSalle Speedway. Sean Westerfield won the opener at Lawrenceburg Speedway for the regular sprint car program. Dallas Hewitt won Saturday at Atomic Speedway. Jared Horseman, your NRA sprint car winner at Lima Land on Friday. And Shane Cottle picking up the season opener, opening feature win at the Lawrenceburg Speedway. And that'll wrap up
the latest dirt.
So a busy weekend compared to what we had the previous week with all of the rainouts at various places around the country. And glad to see us finally get some racing in. So a busy weekend of racing wrapping up. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have Josh Hodges on the line. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Podcast.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. 7 races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
Welcome back to the TJSlideways.com podcast. Our first guest this evening, up-and-coming star in the West Coast sprint car scene. He had a spectacular victory Saturday at the Paris Auto Speedway with a last-lap final corner pass. Josh Hodges joining us on the line. Josh, first of all, thanks for taking time out to join us tonight.
Thank you for having me. This is a neat deal to be on. So, like I said, thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, let's talk about Saturday. And how did you set up Damian Gardner for the final lap pass?
Well, it started, I guess, start of the race. They reworked the racetrack quite a bit. And we had tightened up quite a bit. The heat race, 22-second laps, which is pretty slow for around there. So, it was pretty slick. And anticipated it being that slick again, so we snugged up quite a bit, and to start off, we were pretty heavy, pretty tight, and just seemed like the cautions worked out to where it kept getting slicker and slicker, and the race lasted long enough that the track came around to us, and there at the end was when our car was working the best, and just a few lap cars there at the end got were either running the top where they were, or they had caught them in a different spot. So that all timed out perfect, and was able to get by them when they had to slide a lap car, get by Brody, I guess. And then Damian there, I guess, I didn't realize till after, lost the motor off of four, and that's really what set us up there. I saw him have to go under the lap car and slide up there, and was actually surprised that we got around him, but know why now, but either way, I'll take it. It was an awesome night for sure, and pretty neat to be able to get to do it from the back to qualifying didn't go well. We had some issues with the injectors. There's a bolt coming out, so got that fixed, but didn't get a good time. It was just one lap at the end, and overcame it at the end of the night, so it was a thrilling win for sure.
Would you rank Saturday the biggest win of your career so far?
I don't know how to rank wins. They're all good, you know. There ain't a bad one. It was the first, our first 410 win, which is a pretty neat deal. And I went to Paris for the first time for the Oval Nationals last year and instantly fell in love with that place. Just a the style of driving you do there. It's so quick, but still you got to back her into the corner there. And it just lends itself to good racing. So it was pretty neat to go out there and win at Paris, an iconic place like that. When we ran earlier in January at the Winter Challenge, got a couple of wins to racing with Brian Clausen. So those were really neat. And we're able to win at Western World, one of the prelim nights. So I don't know. I kind of lump all those together. So, but this one definitely ranks right up there. And it's pretty special being a 410 and being able to do it from 15.
Josh Hodges joining us on the line. And Josh, you've split some time between winged and non-wing racing in your career. And first time I actually saw you was at the Knoxville Nationals of all places. Lately seem to be doing a little more non-wing racing. What's the plan with there? Are you going to continue to do a mix, or are you focusing now more on the non-wing racing?
So I guess we started out doing primarily wing stuff. I say we did run a little bit of non-wing stuff when I first started in the sprint car stuff. And then as the years went on, we got to more 50-50 just because of what we have around us. There's a little bit more non-wing stuff. Still, we can get to a lot of wing 360 stuff. But anyways, it just seemed like there when we started running about half and half, the non-wing cars, I seemed to pick up a little better on both setup-wise and in the seat. And I don't know, I guess just it ended up being, we felt like we needed to make a choice about last year on which route to take, because it seemed like we would do all right if we could string together, say, a bunch of 360 non-wing shows, but then we'd go run like a wing 410 show and then get back off track again. So last year we made the conscious decision to try and stick to one thing. We stuck to the non-wing stuff and actually went back to Indiana for a couple months and ran primarily 410 non-wing stuff. And that really helped us kind of build on something week after week, race after race, and met a lot of great people out there. Jake Argo at CSI Shocks has started helping us and turned our program around. And that's kind of when we started focusing on the non-wing deal. And right now, actually, all the stuff we own is non-wing stuff. But I'm definitely open to racing wing stuff in the future and all that. But just the way everything was working out as far as where we could race and what we're being successful at, we felt non-wing was the route to go. So
Josh Hodges joining us on the line. Josh, what is the plan for the rest of the year? You'd mentioned you have some 360 non-wing wins, your first 410 win on Saturday. Are you just going to hit and miss here and there, or is there a definitive plan of where you're going to be racing the rest of the year?
So we've never run, I guess one year we ran for ASTS Southwest points, but we never really run for a point series. We kind of just run a true outlaw schedule and pick here and there where the weather looks good and where bigger shows are. We always like to go to some of the bigger events and because that's where you know how you stack up. So we usually go week by week and look at the schedule, see who's racing, and kind of compare. What I will say we are looking at doing is we're hopefully going to get back to Indiana this year, starting at the end of May, around Memorial weekend. And we're going to leave a lot of our operation out there. John Stambrough's been gracious enough to have us last year, and he's going to have us again. So our equipment's going to be out there, and about every other weekend we're going to be able to commute out there and get 2 or 3 days in of racing, just kind of local stuff. Or if USAC happens to be racing, then we'll run that with them. But that's the plan as of right now. And then hopefully we can have enough stuff by that time. We can leave a car around home and find a trailer to borrow this or that. And then on the off weekends, maybe filling around here. But I have an internship I'm actually going to start in Albuquerque here during the summer. So I need to stick around here during the week, but would like to go racing in Indiana on the weekend. So hoping that's going to be how it works out, at least through the summer, and then we'll kind of go from there.
You had mentioned when we were setting up this interview that we had to work around the school schedule, so I have to ask, as we do of all our student interviewees, what's your major?
I'm majoring mechanical engineering at New Mexico Tech here in Socorro, New Mexico. This is my junior year now.
Oh, wow. So way above my pay grade eventually and way above my intelligence level. That's not completely unusual. Josh Hodges joining us on the line. You've really seemed to pick it up the past couple of years. Was it, you'd mentioned sticking to the non-wing stuff. Was that pretty much what kind of got you going really good with it? Or is there something else you do with the program that really seemed to catapult you the past couple of years?
I think where it really picked up was after we did start running in Indiana, starting in, I believe it was May last year. We went out there and we were just out to lunch, just no good. And we had some good aspects, I'll say, but just when the track wasn't perfect for us, then we weren't good. So we kind of learned how to adapt to the racetrack, how to run the 410s. Because a lot of the stuff back home here is 360 stuff. So got to run the 410s. And then, like I mentioned before, we got hooked up with Jake Argo there at CSI. And we'd run CSI shocks for a long time. But he kind of took us under his wing and helped just kind of with a few things here and there. Nothing too crazy, but just some basic stuff, and helped us be a little more consistent and just helped us read the racetracks there in Indiana. It's different than where we're from. You know, it's all a dirt or soil base. We're back here at Sandy and kind of clay. So I guess that all kind of built up together, and he's been helping us. Anytime I'm at a racetrack and he's not there, I can give him a call, and he's been helping us out. And so that's been great. I think running the non-wing car, whether it be 360 or 410, just sticking to the non-wing car has really helped, because I can build on every race, can go back kind of back in the catalog of my memory of what I needed to do better last time, and look at the notes and see where we can improve. So I think that consistency helped. And then our motor program, I think, has gotten better. We've picked up Jerry Gibson has helped us tremendously, getting our motors fueled right and getting the right package under them. And typically people think of non-wing cars as not needing the motors or horsepower quite like wing cars do. And I'd say that's partially true, but when a motor runs well and more than anything throttles well and you can handle it and use that throttle to help the race car, that's tremendous. So when all that came together, I think it really helped everything. It's not one area ever that helps you improve, but that certainly, all of that together seemed to help us through Indiana. And like I said, we started off in Indiana terrible, and then by the end of it in sprint week, we had a sixth place finish at Hofstad. So we made improvement out there and took it out west here, and kept building on it since then. And then we just had a lot of breaks go our way here, I'd say from November into this year. Whether it be pill draws or just lap cars, this and that. There's some times when your luck seems like it goes against you every time. And luckily we've been on the other end right now where everything's working our way, and we're taking advantage of it. So I'm pretty pleased about that. And it's been a great start to the year for sure.
Well, Josh, we thank you for taking time out to join us, and look forward to seeing you joining us out here in the Midwest pretty soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again.
Josh Hodges. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Shane Carson. You're listening to the GJSlideways.com podcast.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. Seven races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump-stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
Thank you, Beth. Now joining us on the Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline, your winner of the Arctic Cat All-Star Circuit of Champions event Sunday at the Bedford Speedway. And Chad Cumminaugh, we were just talking off of the air before we came on here that was a very impressive victory with that field of cars on Sunday at Bedford.
Yeah, well, it was really good for our team. You know, we're kind of picking up where we left off last year, and the more brother work together here, it seems like I get more and more comfortable every time I get in the race car, and it just seems like things are maybe hopefully coming together. We're starting to get consistency instead of being fast, you know, for two races and not very good for 8 or 10, and I don't know, hopefully that was a sign, because when you get over in that part of the country, like we just talked there off the air for a second, but you get over there and the wins are hard to come by. Top tens are tough, but when you pull out a win over there, that feels like a pretty good accomplishment.
Let's talk about on Sunday. Now, the Box Girls show that you led every lap, but you had one of the hottest sprint car drivers in the country on your tail, and Greg Hodnett. How did you maneuver the slower traffic to keep him behind you?
I got a real good start, and when we went down into one, it's kind of happened unexpectedly to be leading off two like that, but I felt really, really good when we got out in an open racetrack. When we come up to lap cars, when you got somebody like Greg behind you, you got to really, really limit your mistakes, and you try not to hesitate for anything, but sometimes when you're leading, that's not the best place to be either. You know, they can see where you're maybe losing a little bit, and they're gaining from one thing that you're doing, and a lot of times you'd like to be running second than leading, but I just tried to go as hard as I could every single lap, because Greg's just on a tear this year. I mean, he was good in Florida and he went home, and, back in Central PA, he's been going really, really good. And if he don't win, he's in the top five all the time, no matter where he starts. But it's really, really neat for our whole race team. Rob and Rita Hunter giving us this opportunity. It's pretty, pretty neat. We got some new people that came on this year to help Rob and Rita out, when it comes to the finances, and Scott Bunnell from Bunnell Rod Shop and JRC Transport and DKW Transport. We got a I think maybe things are starting to finally feel really, really comfortable.
Now, you had run your own team for several seasons, and you mentioned you went to Rob Hunter's team last year. What's the transition like when you had run your own program for so long to go back to actually having a boss and someone to answer to?
Well, when you own them, you know, as long as me and my wife and my father-in-law, and, you know, we did the Outlaws for 8 years, and it's just, owning them is not good, you know, and especially I got two little kids, and you just get so tired of it. You get mentally beat up and financially, you know, it seems like every time you take a step forward, it's not two steps back, it's 10. And you just get to the point where I was just having no fun at all. So the transition of going when, you know, this opportunity kind of presented itself and Rob asked me about driving for him and getting back with my brother racing, for me to transition was super simple. You know, it wasn't my money. So that part was probably the easiest, just getting back, you know, acclimated racing with my brother all the time. Again, 8 years is a long time to do it by yourself, and you get into different habits and you try different things. And, you know, I was the truck driver, the mechanic, the driver. I always just had one kid with me, and that part now I just get to leave go. You know, I worry about the gas pedal tear offs and steering wheel. I don't have to worry about all that stuff. And it's like a big old breath of fresh air.
Chad Kavanaugh joining us. You got the win at Bedford, and you have Port Royal and Sealance Grove coming up this weekend. So you go to Pennsylvania, and then you get to go right back. Do you think tracks like Bedford and Port Royal and Sealance Grove are a little bit, maybe, I don't want to say easier, but you think the home track advantage is not as great because they're a little more conventional tracks compared to like Williams Grove?
I don't. Them guys, they're, you know, I don't know, it's still their type of thing. You know, it is and it isn't, but it's like I told somebody today, you know, it's like the NBA playoffs. When it comes to home field advantage, there's no substitute. And them guys are so good when they get out there in their element, whether it's for whatever the reason. I don't know if it's the dirt is different out there. You know, you go to Knoxville and you got the black dirt, and you come to Attica and, you know, it's more dirt. Or you go there and you think it's the same, but they're just so good at what they do. And it's challenging. I mean, this weekend could be as good as it could be the biggest piece of humble pie. You just don't, when you go out there, you just don't know what you're going to get. You know, you got to qualify number one. You have to start with them to try to beat them, or, you know, maintain. You're not going to probably go marching from the back to the front out there with the caliper cars you're racing against.
And we're into the second year of Tony Stewart's ownership of the All-Star Circuit of Champions. And you've kind of been around it through Burt's ownership and Guy Webb's ownership and now Tony's ownership. What progress have you seen with the series with Stewart's group running it and owning it?
I think it's good so far. You know, I can't really, you know, nothing's perfect. And there's things that they do that, you know, we sit back and wonder why, or, you know, but the overall picture is the credibility that he's brought, you know, to the name, to the All-Stars for, there's no doubt about it. It was not going probably what you want to call the right direction. And just example being Bedford. I mean, if somebody ever told me there was going to be 42 cars at Bedford, Pennsylvania on a Sunday, I would have had to, I'd bet somebody, you know, that was probably not going to happen. And, you know, whether, I don't know what it is. It's the curiosity of the Tony Stewart name or what it is. I don't know, but it's good to know that when your car owner, who's putting a lot out there for us to go, you know, for me to have a job or whoever it be, and it cost a lot. And to know that the financial side of it, you don't worry about your car owner not getting paid or whatever it be, and that goes right down to, you know, working with promoters, working with doing, you know, the fans. It's all, I see a lot of positives. I mean, it's definitely different, there's no doubt about it. I mean, back from when, you know, my dad's car won the first ever All-Star race, It was called Moss then. It wasn't even called the All-Stars. But to see where it's going now, I think it's all good. You know, it's a change. There's no doubt about it. They do things different. But, I mean, we just – he's pretty powerful. You know, the name Tony Stewart when it comes to motorsports, it'd be hard to find something that's more powerful as far as credibility. And let's just hope that that's right. You know, I think it is myself personally, but that's my opinion.
Chad Kavanaugh joining us. You mentioned Attica Raceway Park earlier. He had a strong run on Friday as well. Quite a race with Dale Blaney for the lead. Unfortunately, that one ending up in a second place finish. But the two nights combined there, along with almost a top 10 at Wayne County, sees you on top of the point standings.
Yeah, you know, if we can have weekends like this, you know, a first, a second, and a fourth in three races, that's not a bad average. I'll go ahead and, you know, I told my brother we can live with that. We can work off that. So if you run three nights and fourth is your worst finish, that's probably going to keep the boss pretty happy.
Yeah, I was going to say that's, you know, what is the biggest change from year one to year two with the Hunter program? Did you guys do anything major during the off season, any kind of overhauls, or was it mainly just tweaking here and there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're there just about three quarters of the way through the year last year. We switched race cars and got Maxims, and it seemed to turn our program around instantly. And we just, all the years that my brother has ever raced, whether it's for my dad or whoever it was, he's never taken a race car, whether it's got six cars or six laps on it or 6,000 laps. And he always sells them and, you know, tries to make it make sense for the car owners. And I think he's one of the best in the country at doing that as far as turning the dollar over and making it feasible for the owner to keep racing. And we, I was scared to death to get rid of the cars that we took off. So we actually tore this car apart and went through it and put the thing back together. And, you know, we're just, it's one of them things that's, you know, I'm sure he's getting more comfortable with me every race. And we got a race car that we're not trying to reinvent anything. It's kind of almost stupid simple, actually. And it seems to be working, you know, whether it's my confidence, maybe, you know, 8 years out on the Outlaws, I got my guts kicked in. And as a driver, when you lose that confidence, I hate to say that word, but it's the truth. And you got to build that back up, you know, and when you're out there every single night racing with the Outlaws and financially, you know, we're way out of our league, but that's what we chose to do. No one holding a gun to our head, and it beats you up. Them guys they're in a league of their own, and you got to pick and choose when you want to try to beat them. So I think our team is just starting to come around where things are getting easier because we're not second guessing.
Chad Kavanaugh joining us on the line. Well, Chad, yeah, a great start to the week, and we're looking forward to you guys heading up our way in a few months. Got three stops up here in Ohio Speed Week. A lot of racing in the area yet to come. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks a lot.
That's Chad Kavanaugh joining us. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to TJ Slideways Podcast. Stay tuned.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. Seven races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference. You're listening to a TJSlideways.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Next guest on our Specialty Fuels and Logistics Hotline, a National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductee, one of the original World of Outlaw drivers, and someone wherever I see him, and the chances of seeing him virtually anywhere seems possible at times, all around the world, Shane Carson, joining us on the line. And Shane, I don't know what took me so long to actually think of calling you up to do this, but I'm glad we finally were able to get together to do it.
10-4, yeah. The places that we run into each other are usually the big events, and I still like to go to those. I'm involved with the Hall of Fame and a lot of events, so it's great to be able to talk to you a little bit about one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and hopefully Mother Nature's gonna start playing nice, but it's neat. Tell me how this reunion centered around the World of Outlaws returning to Devil's Bowl got started.
Well, obviously, the Outlaws were not at Devil's Bowl for probably 10, 12 years because they had a split of the ways, really, and the Outlaws went one way, and they kept running a different class down at the Devil's Bowl. So they came in, and they made a deal with the promoter, which was Lanny Edwards. They made a deal with him, and basically that event is promoted by the Outlaw series itself. So they kind of hung it out on the line. They rented the track. They took a huge gamble, and it paid off. That first event, that was the return of the Outlaws, and it was very, very well perceived, and we had a huge crowd. I had 53 of the original 93 drivers that were running at the time in 1978 when we ran that first Outlaw show. So it was a great turnout, and I think it was a great time had by all.
Now, when you're putting that together, because you're kind of like the ringleader of this reunion thing, kind of gathering people up, were you surprised you were able to get that many of the people to come to that event?
You know, at first I thought, it would be impossible. And then now looking back at that, it was amazing, really. And, not that many of them had passed. Probably, I think 12 or 13 of them had passed away. So really you're talking about 80 guys, and you were trying to, get as many of them there as we could, and 53 of them was pretty strong.
I was impressed. When I saw the group photo, it was one of the most impressive things I had ever seen. And I can only imagine what the bench racing was like at this thing. I imagine a few people probably got a little bit better than they used to be based on the storytelling.
Well, a lot of those guys we hadn't seen in 20 years. And it was great to hear their take on what the Outlaws look like now and what it was like when they were, touring the country with an open trailer and a pickup, and what it's turned into. That was the coolest thing, I think, for me.
Yeah, and depending on the age of the participants, you probably had a bit of progression too, because you probably had some people that might have been towards the tail end of their careers when the Outlaws started, and you were one of the younger guys when that kicked off, and some in the middle, right. So you have some real perspective there. You know,
it was a great collection of just like you said, of the ages. You know, you had Steve Kinzer and myself and Rick Ferkel and some of the guys that were there when it all started. Then you had, some of the guys that were just getting around and had them all there at once. So it was really, really cool.
Who was the biggest surprise that showed up, do you think, of all the people?
Probably Charlie Schwartz. That really floored me. And, Charlie, we had the Loretta Lynn car back then and ran a lot with the Outlaws. Of course, then he ended up going into late models, but, Charlie, I hadn't seen or heard from him in a long time. And, he called me and said, I'm in town. I said, come on over. I went down my list and invited him, but I never heard from him. And then he showed up, it was me I can kind of think back on that list. And now last year, Lee Jang showed up. So there was another one that I hadn't seen in a long time that was able to come.
So what is in store for this year's version? Anything, any surprises, anything new in this year's version of the reunion?
Well, when I first started trying to put it all together, we wanted it to be a 90s reunion. And so the list of drivers changed a little bit over the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So I went and contacted as many as I could, and they've all got, different things going on, and I wasn't able to get a good feel for it. So we're going to have it. It will be open to, any of the drivers that were, running in any of those decades. And we're also going to have a surprise guest, and I'll tell you right now, because I just confirmed it a few minutes ago, and Johnny Rutherford will be the Grand Marshal of the event.
Oh, man, I should have had the breaking news sound effect queued up there. I know you were working on that, but I didn't know where it stood, so we'll have to go get it. There we go. Breaking news right here on the podcast that Johnny Rutherford, Grand Marshal. We're trying to be on this deal. We're trying to be on top of it.
Until an hour ago, I didn't have that answer. So your timing was excellent.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So Rutherford, man, that's pretty awesome. Not necessarily.
And you know what's neater about that than you probably know. I mean, Johnny grew up in Texas, and he was running around like a kind of like an early outlaw back in those days. But his goal was he just wanted to go and be able to run USAC. And I told him when I was talking to him just now, I said, Johnny, these are the guys that everybody wants to be like. They all want to run with the Outlaws. The Outlaws are the big, they're making the big bucks. I go, so it was just like when you were starting. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I can see that. I said, well, so we want you to be the Grand Marshal. I want you to come and talk to Gibson a little bit and give him a little bit about the history back when you were doing the very same thing these guys are doing now. I think it'll be excellent.
What a neat deal to have him there at that program. So Johnny Rutherford going to be – now, that's on Saturday, correct? You'll see him.
Yeah, Saturday only, yeah.
Saturday only, yep. So that'll be neat to have him there. It'll be good to have him out at the racetrack, too. It's not a face you run into at a sprint car race all that often. And, it'd be neat to see what he – I'd love to take some of these guys – that ran, were kind of USAC, got locked into the USAC deal, put them in a wing car.
Yeah.
I almost wondered how well they could have done. I think Johnny's one of the guys that probably could have done halfway decent had he gone that route. Yeah. So
we had a reunion that Bart Stevens put on a reunion in Irving, Texas last year in September, and Johnny was there, and it was actually highlighting it was highlighting three drivers, and the three that were there, of course, they weren't there in person because Lloyd Ruby had passed. Gordon Woolley was another one of them, and he wasn't there either, but, he's like 93 and didn't really get out that much. But, listening to Rutherford tell stories about all those guys was really good. And, he has a really, really good memory, and he was around when all those guys were getting started.
Wow, incredible stuff. So the Racers Reunion this weekend at Devil's Bowl, part of the World of Outlaws weekend, Friday and Saturday at the Devil's Bowl Speedway. Shane, you have a great perspective on the sport. I love picking your brain. And one of the most popular topics that I get asked a lot about is Donnie Schatz, and where right now in his career do you put him in with some of the greats of the Outlaws? And of course, we had the big three era. We had the era where it was you and Ferkel and Kinzer, and we see what Schatz is doing now. What do you think of what he's accomplishing and how he's going about it based on the way the equipment is now, how you can buy stuff off the shelf and stuff? How remarkable is what Schatz is doing right now?
Well, think about it. You know, you're right about everybody can go buy it. Well, so that takes that out of the equation, and he still won 7 championships. And he's really, really confident at all the events. You know, he doesn't crash a lot. He doesn't run over people. You know, he's a very professional racer. And if you ever talk to him, you know, he's got a whole different demeanor. You know, he's not real, you know, talkative. He don't go out and mill around and check out everybody else's car. He stays to himself. He's all business when he gets in that race car. And you can see it in his driving style and the way he moves around on the track and doesn't let anybody else change his line or his pattern. He runs a lot of times he runs where nobody else does. You know that. Mm-hmm. And he's able to do that successfully. And it's just, it's really amazing to see that nowadays. And I know, everybody's got the same equipment or has access to it, but, he's running a Ron Shaver engine. He's running a J&J car. Not a lot of people run those combinations. I don't know why. You know, you would think that that's what they would go after. But, Donnie has been tight with Jack Elam and Ron Shaver, and it makes for a perfect combination. Ricky Warner is right there helping him every step of the way. They're a very, very tough team. I don't know. I don't see him slowing down. He may not be leading the points yet, but keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Now, when you look at someone that's dominant like that as a driver, especially Schatz, what impresses you as a fellow driver about what he does on the racetrack? What's maybe the most impressive thing you think of him when you watch him conduct his business on the racetrack?
I feel like it's just his confidence in the lines he's taking on the track. He doesn't vary. He hardly ever makes mistakes on the racetrack. You watch him, and that course that is also equates to not crashing very often. I mean, he's very well in control. He seems to have his program all lined out. When he gets started, he knows where he's going to be, and he just sticks to it, and it usually comes to him during the race.
Shane Carson joining us here, talking a little bit about today, yesterday, and everything in between. One of the real characters of sprint car racing, and thinking about characters and stuff. Do you think our sport still has? Obviously, times changed. Probably not going to be the same kind of character you had maybe in the late 70s, early 80s, and even through the mid 80s maybe. But do you think our sport has retained a little bit of its character, even though it has gone through some growth things and some changes? And we have a lot of younger kids now. But do you still think it has some of the same character it used to have?
Well, think about it. Some of the characters that we're talking about and you and I know about, how would they fit into the corporate world? So if you've got big sponsorships and you might have a guy out there that's not quite politically correct, and that might, be a problem. I say it's changed a little bit because of that. When I started, there was definitely some characters. I was talking to a few of their people the other day, just about some of the things that went down back then, and definitely couldn't be doing that today.
And one thing I always think of too, is when I think of the younger drivers, is because they didn't live in that era, they probably think the era they're going through right now, like if you're a young up and coming driver, maybe a little bit under the radar, you're probably having fun too. It's just, you don't have that to relate back to. So you don't really know what you missed out on. I mean, I feel like that way, like when I was in my 20s and going to Knoxville and having fun right. and everything else. And now I'm probably about 10:30. I'm like, man, let's push off this feature. I got to go to bed. but I think it's perspective somewhat too. I mean, you know, we're all nostalgic somewhat and stuff and yeah, I mean,
yeah, somewhat it is. I keep up with a lot of the different types of racing and, you know, it's not just in the Outlaws or in the open wheel stuff. It can be in stock car stuff too. You've got, you know, you listen to people talk about, oh, you know, it's not near as good as it was. Well, if you look back on those days, you had, you know, two or three cars on the lead lap and everybody else was 10 laps down or whatever, you know, so, you know, the field's closer. It's harder to come from the back to the front. You know, you don't have the same situations you had back then. Everybody's got equal equipment. So it changes the playing field quite a bit. And like I was talking about with the Outlaws, you were able to go buy that stuff. It seems like back when we were starting, you had a few of those guys like Nance and Carl Kinzer and, you know, some of them that built stuff that nobody else built. So you would show up with something that nobody else had. You know, and that's just, I don't know if we can, I don't know how you do that anymore.
Yeah, It probably isn't, but you know what? There's something else that maybe is going to be interesting down the road too. And I mean, it's just, it's ever right. changing and it's always fun to watch. Well, Shane, I really am glad that we had a chance to catch up and visit a little bit. And we'll have to have you on the podcast again maybe this off season too, because we'll have to do some storytelling and whatnot. But Racers Reunion Friday and Saturday at the Devil's Bowl Speedway. And Shane, I'm looking forward to seeing all the various photos and some of the stories coming out of this deal. And hopefully Mother Nature's on your side. It should be a lot of fun.
I think it will be, TJ. I sure appreciate it. Anytime you want to call me, I'm available.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
The Must-See Sprint Car Series is back on MAB TV. 7 races, including the Little 500. It all starts Thursday, May 12th, only on MAB TV. For more info, visit MustSeeRacing.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
You're listening to TJSlideways.com podcast. Here is your host,
TJ Buffenbarger.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Shane Carson's a character. We've been talking off the air right up until the end of that break. That was highly entertaining, to say the least. But that's going to wrap up this edition of the TJ Slideways .com podcast. Got to thank Josh Hodges and Chad Kavanaugh and Shane Carson for being on tonight. And we're kind of just getting back into our groove. It's not perfect yet, but we're getting there. Doing the podcast every week, and might even throw a couple midweek ones, and depending on what breaks up. But it's always good to talk about our sport and different perspectives and stuff. And Shane's got one of the best ones, and I think if we had been rolling tape on that, we probably could have went for 2 hours. But I'd like to thank you all for downloading us and listening to us each and every week. Don't forget to please rate our podcast on Stitcher and iTunes. You can send our feedback to at TJ Slideways on Twitter, the Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com, and via email, podcast@TJSlideways.com. Thank you again for listening, and have a good evening. We'll see you somewhere out at the track very soon. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.